To episode 2 of Grappling with History. It's turned into a mini series, Al.
Yes,
already.
Mini
fantastic.
Series.
And this week we
like
are.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, Al. And what's it?
Fucking awesome.
I know. Anyway, this week is Starrcade 87, Al. We're travelling back 31 years.
Year of our Lord 1987.
1987. We jumped in the DeLorean. And going back to Starrcade 87.
Oh, it's a shame we didn't do 88. Could have linked into 88 miles an hour.
It's cancelled. We'll do it
again. We'll do it again. We'll do 88
next. So,
all in tag team matches.
Yes, hopefully, if anyone's listening again, you enjoyed the first show. And it'll obviously be much the same. We will run through with a Starrcade card. And give our thoughts, opinions about everything that comes up, basically.
Everything that comes up.
And then out.
Even our erections.
Even our... I'm always up. Permanently up, son. I can't help it nowadays.
That is a problem, isn't it? That is a problem.
Because I know, you know, I'm getting older, so when it goes down, I think it's gone forever.
I get the problem, but it's not getting it up, it's getting it down.
No, son.
Slightest vibration sets it off.
Anyway, a few details. Starrcade 87, Al. Shytown Heat. Glory Bound. Obviously in Chicago from that subheading there.
Actually from Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago, Illinois.
From the venue UIC Pavilion.
The UIC.
Attendance 8,000.
Yeah, reported attendance, because bang on, attendance that
8,000. exactly 8,000. National Wrestling Alliance and Jim Crockett Promotions presents Starrcade 87.
Starrcade 87, exactly.
November the 26th. I do believe it was a Tuesday or Thursday.
Was it? 1987,
it was the
course.
First... NWA event to be broadcast live on pay-per-view.
Yes.
There's also shown on closed circuit narrowcast at 100 different venues.
Well, there we are. Knowledge, son, knowledge there.
Our previous supercards, as of the previous supercards used to be, like narrowcast, that's the only way back in the day.
Yeah.
Before Vince McMahon popularised pay-per-view. It was the first major Jim Crockett promotion. Event to feature wrestlers from the Universal Wrestling Federation, which was purchased by Jim shortly before the event.
An olden day WWF invasion. It was.
Because it was the first NWO event to be on pay-per-view, the WWF at the time came up with a format of Survivor Series to compete against them for Thanksgiving ratings.
Yes.
They won.
And wasn't it Jim Crockett who, wasn't it for the same date? Didn't they have it the same date?
Yes,
Jim
they had
Crockett
the same
made
date.
It the same date after...
The only time, the first time they beat them in the ratings was at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 6 or 5. It was a Clash of Champions.
5 would have been 87.
86 was...
No,
it can't be. 1990 was.
We're on 35
this year. 1990 was WrestleMania 6, wasn't it? Or 89?
84 was the first, man.
84, 85, 86, 87. WrestleMania 5.
There we are, we can count this.
There
now,
we
man.
Go. WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
Alright. Jim Crockett Promotions created Clash of the Champions. And they beat them in the ratings.
They beat them in, there we are. But yes, as you said, they obviously acquired the UWF. It was the original invasion storyline.
First, actually, major, I think, I do believe major, like, well, I know Vince did a lot of buying up the
territories,
thank yeah. you. But not the first, it was the first big... one, it was introduced as two different companies, maybe.
And, I mean, you can tell that by the card. It's just a who's who of wrestling legends, really, isn't it?
Fully packed. You picked a good one this year.
You did pick a good
one. This week.
This week. This you month. Did, Al. You did indeed, son, without a shadow of a doubt. And...
Thoughts going into the event, Ash? What's your thoughts going into the event? We're looking forward to it. What do you think? Well, it's a different type of wrestling I'm used to.
Well, as you know, Al, I'm not an old-school NWA WCW fan. So this was educational for me. This is what I'm treating this as. You know, I was mainly WWF growing up, WWE. Yeah. So this for me was good. It's good to see, you know, people who, for instance, you see inducted into the Hall of Fame and stuff like that.
But yeah,
you know, their prime. Yeah, but you very rarely saw it in their prime wrestling.
Or very rarely saw them in WWE.
Well, exactly, yeah. So it was good for me, and... I was looking forward to the old Skywalkers match, Al. I've never seen one before.
It's not my first Skywalker match.
No?
No, I have seen other Skywalker matches.
So I've never seen one before, so I was looking forward to that. Obviously looking forward to Flair in the main event, you know, in his pomp, in his prime. Dusty as well. Would have been...
Woo! Back on the way, baby!
But yeah, you know, I was just looking forward to seeing all these airframes, as you said, and treating it as a learning experience for myself, an educational experience for myself, you know.
Straight off the bat, we're introduced to Tony Schiavone with his porn moustache and a little mullet.
Oh.
God, I love Tony Schiavone.
Yes.
And Jim Ross.
Jim Ross.
A very young Jim Ross.
Oh, yes.
Who looks like Theodore from Halloween and the Chipmunks.
You're not wrong, man.
He's got like a very goofy teeth when he was young.
Yes.
A really good tan, wrong face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at him, but who does he look like? I thought, it's fucking Theodore.
Yeah, absolutely.
From Halloween and the Chipmunks. Look him up, people. I might screenshot it and send it up later.
But even in his young days, you know, he's fantastic on the commentary, I thought, all throughout.
Yeah. See, if I had to have a dream commentary team,
yeah,
I've always gone for like Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone.
Right.
I've always liked Tony Schiavone.
There's an argument nowadays, obviously, because nowadays, you know, obviously, we mainly look at the classics, but, you know, you can't help but compare to nowadays. There's always been this debate now coming up. Should it be a three-man team?
No.
Would it be a two-man team? What would you have, Al? Two.
Just two men.
Just two.
Colour commentary and the analyst.
And the screen man,
Yeah, the screen man. Commentary and analyst, the same type of people, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know when it was introduced. I think maybe when Raw started in 93, maybe. Because that's the first time I seen a three-man commentary team. Like Vince, Macho Man and The Brain. But now saying that, my ultimate, just thinking now actually, I told a lie, my ultimate commentary duo, if I could create a wrestling organisation of anybody I could out of the history of wrestling, the two guys I want on my commentary team, Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby the Brain Heenan. People say, you're crazy, man, you're crazy.
Love
I'm like Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
The voice there was made for it from the start.
Oh, I wonder what kiss on him.
He was fantastic. No, I'd agree with that. Loved it. What were your thoughts going into it? You asked me mine, son. What were you?
My thoughts going into it, I knew a bit about it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Had you seen it before?
I'd not seen it before, actually. A lot of guys. I've seen maybe nearly all of these guys perform.
Yeah, I mean, out of them all, there's maybe one or two that are not hugely well known, but that's it. The rest of them are completely.
I had seen everybody on the card fight before. Yeah,
going
through my notes. Everybody I've seen before, so I knew. But then you got some matches, and I thought, oh, that looks a bit tasty. Like match number two, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But obviously, like the Skywalker match. Very unique match. And a double main event with a steel cage.
Yes, exactly. Obviously planned it well because, you know, don't want to overwork the old ring workers and set it up, take it down, set it up again. You know. But like nowadays, it's just lowered down, strapped on like it. But no,
I was actually really looking forward to it. You know, I'm a bit of an old school fan. I think I've said this before, like, I grew up in the WWF, obviously. That's the only wrestling we had over here.
So yeah, the British ones
that was on World of Sport.
Yeah.
But I actually prefer the NWA at that time.
Yeah.
Like, 80s NWA. I know it changed, when did it change? 93 to WCW?
I wouldn't know.
Early 90s, that's just...
Yeah.
Ballpark, early 90s.
Well, early 90s.
So I've always been a fan of the NWA Jim Crockett promotions. So I was looking forward to this. I think WWF at the time, up until the Attitude Era, was very gimmicky.
Exactly what I was just thinking then. It was
NWA, they were more men. They were men.
Pure wrestling. Yeah. Wrestling ability. As you said, more gimmicky WWF, more, even back then, more entertainment orientated than the actual sport of wrestling orientated. Yeah. Even back in the 80s, obviously Vince's, you know, influence then, even coming to the fore.
And you look at it, there's a lot of guys in this pay-per-view that went on to be in the WWF as well.
Yeah.
But completely changed as well. The characters changed to stupid gimmicky. Oh, I know the reason why, because he likes to bury wrestlers from his competitions.
Yeah.
He did it with Dusty. He brought Dusty in and polka dots.
But he made it work.
Of course he did.
Which is one of the rare.
Sweet Taffa!
But no, you're right there. I agree absolutely with that. Shall we crack on?
Yeah, kick on. First match. Six man. Thank you. It was a triple threat tag team.
And it was Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert, Rick Steiner, and Larry Zbysko.
A young Rick Steiner.
Yeah.
Before Scott.
Yeah. I was interested to see that.
Yeah, built like a brick shit house. Oh, Jesus. Shape on the guy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, with baby doll.
Yes. And they were, of course, taking on the team of Sting, Michael P.S. Hayes, and Jimmy Garvin, who would obviously
go on to
form the New Freebirds.
Not the New Freebirds.
Or the Freebirds.
Tag as the Freebirds.
Tag as the Freebirds.
Well, Hayes invites him
to
be the member.
You know what?
I had figures of them. I still got it to this day.
Yeah?
WCW figures of Jimmy Garvin and Michael P.S. Hayes when I was a kid. It was a pack. And had the blue ring, like sound box,
put into the WCW ring.
And they had like 1, 2, 3, ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
And the crowd fucking loved it. Even though it was like they were stiff toys, as WCW, the gulp ones.
Yeah.
They were stiff. To this day, they were my favourite figures, yeah. Still got them in my cupboard.
You're a hoarder, Al. You've nothing else.
Oh, God.
But yes, I mean...
I'm a hoarder. I like to keep my wrestling figures. They're fucking expensive.
I do like to lose. I'm wrong on that, son.
You go on there on eBay. You type in Dustin Reynolds Glop figure, right? You're looking about 50, 40 quid.
Is it?
Something like that.
Jeez.
I found it in a car boot sale for 50p.
Oh, that's...
Didn't even tell the woman.
Didn't even tell her.
Say, love, do you not realise who got here, love? It's Dustin Reynolds, yeah?
She was trying to get 70p out of me. I got her down at 50p.
Snap your hand off. On eBay later.
Walk away, turn around, walk away, sharpish.
If you think he's expensive, you should look for his dad.
Was it?
In the Hasbro ones.
Oh, yeah.
Cost me £57.
Was it?
And I ain't joking, son. £57 on eBay for the American Dream figure.
Keep that, son. That's your pension, that is.
I think I've got 9 figures left to collect.
Is it?
And I've got the whole Hasbro original.
Jeez.
Yeah. But the only thing, these 9 last figures...
Are the most expensive.
Are the most fucking expensive ones. Like Ludwig Borger, 1, 2, 3 Kid. smoking guns, atom bomb.
I was like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Crush.
Oh, I mean, I'd have to...
Evil Crush.
Evil Crush.
Not Cooler Crush.
Not cool. Kool-Aid Crush.
Cooler. Cooler Crush.
Right, yeah, where were we now?
Fine enough, I got Demolition Crush as well. I got two Demolition Crush. Is crush. It?
You like him, do you?
No, I forgot I had him.
I bought another one.
I bought another one.
Easily done. Now, a bit of
one
lead
day,
up.
One day I might tweet a picture out of her. I'll set them all up for you.
Get them on there, son. Tweet them out. See, it might be people out there with the figures you need, son. You know what I mean? Do you a deal, innit?
Oh, fuck no. They look really expensive. I was looking at them the other day. Unpackaged ones are going for like 100 odd quid.
Is it?
Oh, Jesus.
Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. But yeah, there was no classy video packages to set up these matches.
No, straight out music.
But a bit of background why the match was happening was Sting and Steiner were tag team under the guidance of Eddie Gilbert.
Yes.
And Eddie Gilbert unfortunately cost them the UWF tag team titles accidentally, which Sting didn't like. And then Gilbert ended up double-crossing him. And obviously this is why the match was taking place, and probably why we saw obviously the younger guys a lot more from Sting and Rick Steiner Sting. In a match. You know, they were taking the bigger bumps.
Very young Sting.
I mean, it was more Steiner and Sting in the ring mostly,
thought. Michael Pizzi's is very limited anyway. Yeah. Wrestling ability. He's not the greatest wrestler. No. Wasn't the greatest wrestler. He's a good showman. He's like David Lee Roth of wrestling.
Yeah.
He is. He's a good front man.
Could do one thing. He's got his high kick and that's it.
Yeah, he's a good front man. Michael PSA's.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the actual talent.
Yeah.
He's alright. I'm not dishing David Lee Roth.
No.
But Sammy Hagar is a fucking outstanding singer.
Yeah.
Going back to Michael PSA's. He was a talker.
Yeah.
That's why he's probably when Hardy's linked up with him.
Yeah, that's right when they come in.
Perfect combination of Michael Hayes. Yeah. Or Doc Hendricks.
Doc Hendricks, that's right.
We all know who Michael PSA's.
And the thing I wanted to mention as well, I think it was it Stein or Sting? Who went, got tossed over the...
Who tossed? What?
Who got...
it's gone blue. It's gone blue. It's gone x-rated. It's not the football podcast we do now.
No. Something to remember, Al. Something to stick in your mind, Al. Early on, first match in, that they mentioned... I think it was Sting or Steiner got tossed over the top rope down to the floor. And they said if the referee saw that, he would have been disqualified.
Yes. The WCW... Well, NWA WCW added up until... mid-90s.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah, God, I remember watching it. I was like, he's checking them over the top rope. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So remember that, because that might come in handy now, a bit of knowledge for later on in the podcast,
match. You didn't know that fact, did you?
I didn't, to be honest,
you know. Yeah, I think up to...
educational for me, so you told yourself.
I think it up to the point where Hogan turned. The NWO around, 95, 96?
Yeah.
I think... They changed the rules when they brought in the Lucha Libres and that. Yeah.
Well, I never knew that. They didn't. The referee. I mean, Jesus, he looked.
He looked like they brought him out of the crypt, didn't they?
Yeah.
He was like, he was hunched over.
He looked. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He looked like an Adams Family member.
He looked like he was about to drop out. That's what I'm
doing. An Adams Family member that they were too embarrassed to show off.
Yeah. And I thought, obviously, I mean, that's one thing as well. All these matches were had time limits on them as well, didn't they?
Always in the
NWA.
Time limit of 15 minutes, and they went to a time limit draw.
Draw. Which.
Which is, looking at this, like when we see it these days, it's very disappointing. It's like, but back in the I actually didn't mind.
I didn't mind so much, but
because it
maybe not first on, like the first match on the card.
Yeah,
you know?
I would say this match would be the first. I wouldn't put any of this match, any of these later down.
No, but then I wouldn't have a draw as the first match, as a result of the first match, whichever it was.
They
you know what I mean?
They used to do it Oh, a lot back in MDC.
Was it, yeah.
It doesn't make anybody look weak then, does it? It's like, no. You've got a young Rick Steiner, you've got a young Sting.
Yeah, that's true enough.
It's still making them look good, like, yeah. Jimmy Garvin.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true enough. No.
You know, I know the living legend, Alari Sabrisco.
Yeah.
You know, he's got more wear now than he did back in the days, didn't he?
Yeah, that's probably right. So, you're right. And the one thing early doors in Otis as well was the crowd were absolutely...
Yeah, proper crowd.
They were absolutely amazing.
Chicago.
Shut down. It was shut down, mate.
Chicago.
It was very good, especially when obviously all six men
ended up in the ring. Garvin, Hayes and Sting was with Precious.
Precious, yeah. That's yeah. Right, yeah, I noticed the names. Oh, they're very, very porno prostitute names.
I think it was Baby Doll.
Yeah.
Now, Baby Doll was... managed Tully Blanchett, Magnum TA, like in
85. Yeah.
And she was nice in 85. Yeah. 2 years later, I don't know what happened to Baby Doll, because she weren't looking like a baby doll.
No.
No. Jesus. I can't remember now if he was a real life wife of Tully Blanchett.
Was he, yeah?
Or Magnum.
It's strange, they really like, you know, prostitute hooker names, aren't they?
Yeah. It's like TNA, yeah, a couple of years back, like, even though like, they're still around, like Velvet Sky and Angelina Love. It's like, you put their names in Pornhub.
Yeah. Yeah, you do so. Hoping, praying something comes up.
Hey, if you want to type with a Mickey James, type your name in Pornhub, see what comes up, son.
That's a tip for everyone, is it?
Yeah. A very young Mickey James.
But yeah, I mean, overall, as you said, it was Sting and Steiner doing most of the work, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, as we said, the crowd were wild. No special, as I said, all six men come in the ring, and Sting and Hayes, Garvin clear the ring. And they were, you know, on their feet, and it was... to go, you know, get the crowd up so much like that and then end it in a draw was just disappointing for me.
You were disappointed, didn't you?
Yeah.
I was expecting it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a few things throughout the whole card, I mean, that I thought was wrong, you know. Just obviously, we'll talk later, tag team and all that, you know, they get the crowd so up and then it's just, you know, take it all away like that. It's just, it was a bit thing. But,
when, have to like say, you said, only 7 matches as well.
Yeah.
Only 7 matches on this card.
Wasn't too many, that's right, yeah. But, no, overall. And then, another thing, which I know, you know, compared to modern wrestling, you might say, is the hot tag. There was only, like, maybe one between the babyfaces.
Yeah.
Whereas nowadays, how many do you get in a match?
Hot tag, yeah.
And that's just that one in a match makes it so much better. It builds it up so much more.
They stand on the apron and they bang it away. They go, come on, oh,
yeah. It just builds it up so much more, builds the story up, brings everyone into the match. Whereas, maybe like you say, now you might get 2 or 3 in a match nowadays.
Yeah, right? It's...
And it's just, it's not building the match up at all.
It's like bloody everybody kicks out of everybody's finisher these days, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's annoying. It's like...
That's the whole point of having that finisher, isn't it?
Paul Heyman said, it was last year, year before, about... finishers of people kicking out of it. It's like, if they built some of these finishers up, like he was talking about Mark Henry. If Mark Henry had the world's strongest headlock and they pushed it every week, he's like, oh, he's squeezing his head off. Yeah, that move would be over and nobody would kick out of that move because they push it. They don't push finishers anymore.
No.
It's like super kicks.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, nobody kicked out the chin music.
No.
Now everybody's fucking super kick parties.
Yeah, no,
I know. I know. Sean wasn't the first one to do the super kick. It was like what's his name? Adams. Forgot his first name. Gentleman.
Chris Adams.
Chris Adams. Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris Adams.
There we go. But yes.
Suicide.
So did he?
Yeah.
Oh, poor fella. But yeah, it ended up in a draw. What your thoughts? You got a rating for this one, Al, to start?
Yeah, give it a. Do you know what? I quite enjoyed. Actually, I'm not going to lie, all seven matches I quite enjoyed.
Yeah, no, I'm with
so,
you.
So, I'm going to give us a three. A good nice. Three.
Out of five, this is legit.
Out of five. Always out of five.
Only score out of five.
Not bad. Obviously, very impressed with Young Sting.
Yeah.
Huge back in the days, and you can see he was a bodybuilder. I think it's not far off him splitting up with the Ultimate Warrior, because they're the Blade Runners, aren't they?
Yes, they're of like course.
Shoot rip off of the Road Warriors.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, everybody, I think Eddie Gilbert was great.
Yeah, no, he's probably one that a lot of people might not have heard of.
Yeah.
But I thought
he died in 1995 as well, so he didn't really have that much of a long career.
No, I mean, I know he stayed with early. I know, I think he did go on to WWF early 90s as well, didn't he? But
no, he was WWF before.
He was before, was he?
Yeah, he went off the lot of independent.
After. Yeah.
Right. He came back to WCW.
He did, he?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was impressed with him.
I'd say, like, Jim Garvin and Michael Hayes, always a massive fan of that.
Yeah.
I'm a massive fan of both eras of the Freebirds, like the Terry Gordy and Buddy Rogers era, and Jimmy Garvin era as well. So I'm going in here like, oh, fucking Freebirds, the early start of the next era of the Freebirds. So I was excited to see that. Anyway. Yeah. So,
but there we are. So
good match.
3 out of 5. No, I enjoyed it. That's absolutely. I agree with it. So we move on. Second match on the card, Al.
This is for the UWF Heavyweight Championship.
Heavyweight Championship. Dr. Death, Steve Williams against Barry Windham, Al.
You don't want to go to the surgery, do you?
No,
I want to see the doctor. I got a bad toe. The only available slot we've got today is Dr. Death. Oh, I don't really want to take my chances with that.
Well, hey there, we've got a Mr. Shipman coming in late there, if you want to see him.
Oh, Shipman, that's probably better. Now, Dr. Death, Steve Williams versus Barry Windham.
Barry Windham, UWF, and by all accounts, Dr. Death wasn't happy about this. He wanted a bit more of a high-profile match, apparently.
Yeah?
Yeah, apparently that was the talk.
Well, it was only 6 minutes and 50 seconds long.
Is it?
Yeah, I would have liked a longer match, especially between them two.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Barry Windham as well.
Mm.
Not so much Steve Williams. I like Steve Williams, don't get me wrong, you know. But Barry Windham, to this day, I love Barry Windham.
Yeah. But no, that was apparently the story. He wasn't happy. He felt he deserved a bigger push going in against someone like Flair or Dusty. Yeah. Or he wanted a main event there, really. But... he was apparently felt he was treated quite badly by Crockett and whatever after, because he came in from UWF obviously into the NWA, and he felt he got a rough ride. Apparently, you know what I mean, like Diamond Dallas Page in the Invasion, son. You know what I mean? Got shafted, son. Got shafted. You know what I mean?
Well, no, not. I don't think so.
No,
he did all right, Diamond Dallas Page, out of that.
Nah.
If they carried on with that gimmick, they brought him in the Stalker one.
Yeah, that was a good
feud of the Undertaker. Yeah.
They just don't see it through, do they?
I don't think it was the individuals. I think it was the whole company that messed up that invasion pretty bad.
Oh,
that was dumb. But you know, they should have waited.
Yeah,
they did. DDP actually didn't come in with the invasion part, did he? He came in after.
He came in after.
Yeah. So no, I like bringing in there. They gave him that stupid positive gimmick. Ooh, actually turns out to be his life now.
Yeah.
I know, it was weird, isn't it?
But there we are, we're back to Dr. F. Barry Windham, with a fast-paced start, which settled down into some good grappling reversals, etc.
Yeah,
there's
a bit of a dodgy manoeuvre through Alfred Frover. I think he took a nut shot.
Who's that old... Dr. Death.
I don't know if that was intentional either.
Well, by the way, then... Maybe it was just the Jim Ross Rizzo's twisting it afterwards, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously, like I said, a bit of grappling reversals, then some power moves. And he went to leapfrog Windham.
Yeah.
And obviously, Windham's head went straight in his Jansen.
Bad God, he had him in a Jansen!
And then the... because all through the match, there was this theme of good sportsmanship.
Good,
amongst,
good friends,
And obviously that was at the forefront when he took the nut shot to the Jansen, when Wyndham allowed him time, backed off, allowed him time to recover before he started wrestling again. And obviously then the match progressed.
I thought it was a weak finish.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
Wyndham went out of the ring, didn't he?
Went into something, didn't he? When he went out of the ring. He hit himself somehow, anyway, when he went out of the ring.
Probably in the guard ring.
Yeah.
As he got in, Dr. Death.
Small party sort of thing.
Rolled him up, didn't he?
Rolled
if you notice...
Rolled up pin, whatever.
If you notice, it wasn't a pin.
No, he had his arms
behind his shoulders. One of the shoulders was up.
Yeah.
How can that be a pin?
But yeah, it was a weak finish. And then obviously Jim Ross then sort of twisted it when we come back to him saying about the... it was good sportsmanship from Wyndham, allowing Dr. Death to recover, but then Steve Williams didn't allow Wyndham to recover, didn't return the favour and the friendship.
I don't know if they feuded after that, I don't know.
I'm not sure, we'll have to check up on that. You'd assume so. Whether it was part of the story of the match, I'm not quite sure, because it didn't look... but then I suppose if it is... going to look like that, an accident, then it's not going to look smooth. It's supposed to look a bit rough around the edges, which if it was, it was absolutely perfect. Then, but they could have done a lot more. You know, if they were going to go down that angle and say, you know, we didn't allow him to recover, he could have done something else with it rather than that finish. Really,
I was a bit surprised with the length of the match.
Very short.
You look at all the other matches.
Oh, they're all 10 minutes plus.
They're all over 10 minutes.
Yeah. But then was that a case of...
Like, the longest match of the night was match 4. That wasn't even the main event.
No, it was that call-off, is it?
Nikita Koloff and Terry Taylor.
Yeah. But then, when you hear the story about maybe he was out of favour, Dr. Death, is that why the match was cut short and said, go and do this and that's it? Like.
Yeah, because he didn't really... I don't think he carried on, really.
No.
Because he wasn't in... I can't remember him being a main guy in late
NWA
CW.
Yeah. So maybe that is why it was it cut so short, and as you say, wasn't it?
I think he went to Smoky Mountain.
Was it?
Yeah, Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Ah, right. But if they were going to finish it like that, they could have. It could have been a bit more, a lot more about it, really. They were going to finish it like that on, you know, Dog of Death being the bad sportsman sort of thing. They could have worked it somehow a little bit better than that. But it was what it was, Al. Short match. You got a rating for that one?
Yeah, I give that... Do you know what? I give it a weak 3.
A weak 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A poor 3. It wasn't bad to be a 2.
No. No. Yeah. I mean...
I enjoyed it.
It was quite a bit crammed into that 6 minutes. Yeah. Like, you know, so...
A lot of hard hitting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of hard hitting power moves. But yeah, I go along with that. Yeah, 2 or 3, 2 plus. It was.
Match number three.
The Skywalkers match, Al.
Let me do it with my Peter Griffin. Skywalker. No lightsabers, disappointing.
I didn't see any. No,
no lightsabers. No death grips, nothing.
It was the Midnight Express.
Ricky and Morty. And Robert Gibson. Rick Sanchez.
The Midnight Express against the Rock and Roll Express. The Midnight Express, obviously, US tag champs.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane.
And with Jim Cornette and his bodyguard,
Big Bubba Rogers who would later go on to be the Big Boss Man.
There we go.
Knowledge. Do you not notice?
Huh?
Do you not notice as the Big Boss Man?
No, I didn't know.
You didn't know that was the...
Didn't notice at all.
Did you actually watch this match?
No, I didn't watch none of this stuff.
As I was saying earlier about Vince cherry picking his talent.
Yeah.
Big Bubba Rogers would later go on, I think a year later, maybe.
Was it just a year later?
Not that far. He definitely debuted 88, maybe 89 as the Big Boss Man.
Was it really?
You notice how big he was back in them days.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Huge. Yeah. So he lost a lot of weight like early 90s and... Obviously, as the Boss Man.
Yeah.
In the Attitude Era.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, if you're like me, you didn't see it before, it's basically a scaffold platform above the ring. And the first team to have
four members. It's not really scaffolding. If you look at it, it's like three ladders and a bit of...
It's elephant safety. We'd have a field day nowadays, let me tell you now. But first team to have both men who fall into the ring. Losers, basically. It was a non-title match. And... For the first one, I mean, it was exciting because, you know, there is that fall and it's not, you know, you look at it nowadays and they wouldn't do anything like that, you know what I mean? You know, they jump off the ladders and whatever, but it's all...
Well, nowadays, if they had that match, it would have been a bigger area.
Oh, a lot wider,
and they would have taken the big bumps off her.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. A lot wider, but it was very narrow.
Very narrow.
I mean, in the end, as far as rest, you know, I mean, it started with, who was it, Robbie climbed up.
Yeah.
And then, while Ricky was in the ring, Bubba Rogers obviously attacked him, took him out.
If you notice, give him the Big Boss Slam.
You give him the Big Boss Slam. If anyone out there turns into the Big Boss Man, then about a year or so later. And then obviously it's 2-on-1 on the platform then, Robbie on his own. And then Bubba tries to climb the scaffold as well, but Ricky attacks him, and then with Jim Cornette's racket, tennis racket, of course. Now, this is when, obviously, they all get up the scaffold then.
Yeah, they all eventually get up.
And in terms of wrestling, it's they either get punched or they get hit with a tennis racket, ladies and gentlemen. That is
not very hard.
So, in terms of wrestling, it's absolutely zero, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no wrestling.
But in terms of... It was exciting because you did wonder, they're going to fall. Well, it was exciting, you know, in that way.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of wrestling, it wasn't a spectacle, but in terms of that, it was something completely different.
It was a gimmick match. They had a hell of a lot of gimmick matches back in MDs, in NWA.
But
in territories.
Yeah. Would you have to have something? I mean, when you look at the card and some of the, you know, wrestling on show, it was a good place to have this match, just to take it away and give the fans something different.
Yeah.
You know, so in terms of that, I enjoyed it.
It was 10 minutes 23 seconds long.
Was it?
Yeah.
But as I said, it went on about 2 or 3 minutes too long, because as I said, after 5 or 6 minutes, you think, well, they're just punching and getting hit with the tennis racket, so something needs to happen, you know.
I think this
is the match. When we talked about the first match, the 6-man tag, this is a match I think they could have done a lot more, ending in a draw. They could have worked it a lot better.
Well, they can't actually end down in a draw, can they?
Well, yeah, if you had sort of thing...
Or four men fall off at the same time?
No, you'd have, you know, two go down and then it's 1v1, and then they're sort of both hanging off it, and then they both, like, kick each other and fall at the same time. And that would be a way to have the draw, wouldn't it? And that would be a lot better for me.
Nah,
but
the Rock and Roll Express had to go over the Midnight Express.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could see the crowd absolutely loved it. Don't get me wrong, Ricky and Robbie, they were well into it.
Yeah. Ricky and Morty and...
Gibson. And but yeah, that's the only thing, obviously. But yeah, it's exciting for my first one to see.
Mm. No, I've seen other ones.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Ones in ECW, and Vic Grimes, I believe his name, he took a hell of a bump off one.
Is it? He
fucked him right up.
Yeah, well, not surprised, man.
He went through a stack of table. I think he ruptured his spleen or something like
Jesus
that. I'm not like 100% sure. It was Vic Grimes.
What's the one that like an X above the ring?
That's X Division. That's the Ultimate X.
TNA.
TNA.
Yeah.
Where you got to climb across. That's stupid. I hate that one.
Yeah.
That's absolutely stupid.
Yeah. No, it's just a similar sort of thing. People get a picture in their mind. But as I said, overall, I think they could have done a bit more.
Yeah, it was okay, you know. It's probably the weakest match on the card.
Yeah.
In my case.
Oh, yeah, I think it was good for
my least rated match.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean I didn't enjoy it. It was a good, like, see Rock and Roll Express in their prime.
Hmm.
And see Bob Eaton as well and Stan Lane.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to look at it as, you know, you've got the 6-man tag, you've got the tag title match then. as well. So, you know, and this one, you know, has three tag team matches on the card.
Mm.
So for them to just have another normal tag team match would have been it. So as I say, it was good for them to give the crowd and the audience and the viewers something just a little bit different. Obviously, for my opinion, it could have, you know, they could have used that extra 3 or 4 minutes in the previous match with Dr. Death to showcase their abilities a bit more. Like.
I do believe the matches I've seen, like the Skywalker matches, weren't called Skywalker matches.
Mm.
They were called Scaffolder matches.
Yeah.
So, I give it a week three.
A week three.
But it's the lowest rating one.
Yeah.
I know the previous one I gave it a week three.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoyed that more.
Yeah. And of course, the end, of course, was the Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man going up. And then Robert Gibson.
Doing the old look over there.
Look over there. Push.
That had me, Sam. Yeah. That had me. Great. Yo, that was.
What's his name? Tyler Bates does it, doesn't he? Pop or something. He's got a punch and pop or something. He looks like he bangs him. Right there. That was good. He just, poof. The old nut shot.
Yeah, and then climbed down head up.
Yeah.
No, fair deal. So, yeah, for me, what do you give it a rating then, Al, did you?
Yeah, I just said, poor three.
Poor
three. I like the fact that the Rock and Roll Express still look the same.
Yeah.
They still got their hairs exactly the same, especially Robert Gibson. There's a white bloody mullet going on.
Was it last year? The Hall of Fame was it
last year. Was it Ricky Morty with his eyes? Were you looking at Ricky? Were you looking at? He must have had a couple of shots to the head. It's like Shawn Michaels, one of his eyes is lazy because he ruptured something in his eye, isn't he? And it's troopy.
Too much hunting that, isn't it? Yeah. Fishing and hunting, son.
No more sexy boy for him.
And we move on into
One of my all-time favourite wrestlers.
I know, and probably, I think, up there with one of the best matches on the card, without doubt. A TV title unification. The NWA champion Nikita Koloff against the UWF champion.
Oh, Nikita's on the upside.
Terry Taylor with Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert at his side.
Yes, Hot Stuff's back.
And yes, Al,
the Russian nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
born and raised, wasn't he?
Yeah, from Minneapolis.
But he was.
He legally changed his name in 1988, I think, to Nikita Koloff, and he kept in character even. When he wasn't wrestling.
And he learned Russian as well.
He learned Russian. And obviously he became, when Soviet Union disbanded, Lithuanian. He's a proper...
But that's the difference. People, they lived it back then, didn't they?
You know, Twitter, there was no social media back then. It's like, I can't remember now, it's Mr. Wrestling.
Right.
He wore a mask and he was in a plane crash. Alright. And obviously he didn't wear a mask when he was out and about.
Yeah.
But his nemesis was on the same plane as him.
Yeah.
And they crashed. And before the emergency service were trying to take him out, he's like, whoa, I gotta put the mask on. No one can see me. The man was barely living.
Yeah.
And he puts a mask on. And he says, don't bring him out as well because he shouldn't be on the same plane as that. So
it's amazing.
They knew how they kept characters back in them days, you know?
I mean, who was it? I think it was a Ric Flair story. He said, I think he might have been feuding with Steamboat or something like that. And he said, you know, they travelled together as well a little bit, didn't they? Obviously, when they were feuding up and down the country, they go around the country, don't they? And they went into a 7-Eleven, didn't they? And Rick was one side of the store, and Rick, you know, Steamboat was the other. And a fan recognised him or something. Ric Flair or something. He said, hello, blah, 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 or something. And then they turned around and they see Ricky Steamboat there, innit? So Flair's like, oh, what are we doing, it? So he walked over and had a go at him. Then he said, fucking come near my, you know, you stay out of my town or something like that. Like, you know, that's the way it was, wasn't it? Back in the day. Fantastic.
Always got a story. They were driving with the Wild Samoans. And at that time, the Wild Samoans weren't supposed to speak.
Mm.
They didn't know. They were like savages from Samoa. They didn't know English. Yeah. Obviously, that's not true.
Yeah.
They spoke perfect English because they're from America.
Yeah.
Anyway, Hogan had a gun in his hand glove. Was it hand? Glove box?
Luggage or something. Yeah, glove box. Yeah.
And the police pulled him over and they said something like, he had a permit, but he didn't have it on him or something. Oh, like, he went on the state, like different states got different laws. So he's Hogan saying, "Hey, brother, look, I got the permit, brother. Just ask the Samoans." Hogan thinking, "Oh yeah, they'll tell it. They'll tell it." They did not break character, and Hogan was arrested.
Fantastic. That's fantastic, isn't it?
I think it was. I think it was Roman Reigns' dad. Afa.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
That's amazing.
Okay, I didn't say it. Okay.
Partly because, well, you know, just went over and over anyway, innit?
Welcome, darling, something.
Fantastic. Anyway, let's get to this match.
Nikita Koloff, one of my all time favourite wrestlers. Loved him in WCW when he came back in 92 with his chain. He was a good guy, I think, when he came back. Well, he was a bit of both, wasn't he? No, he attacked Lex Luger. Because Lex Luger...
Who wouldn't?
Lex Luger beat him for his United States Championship.
Right.
And he accused Luger of stealing it.
Is this?
But at the time, Luger was a heel and he was a face. And when he came back in 92, Luger was a face.
Yeah.
And Nikita Koloff was a heel.
Yeah.
But, loved him. To this day, I still love it. He's a preacher now, you know?
Is he really?
A minister, yeah. To this day, love him. Nikita Koloff.
Surprising, man. There's a few ex-wrestlers who are preachers.
Yeah.
There's quite a few.
Like, born again Christians,
What about this match then, Al?
Do you know what? This is probably the best Hairy Tail match I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Beats any of the Red Rooster matches I've ever saw him when he was in WWF.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I think this was
solid.
As
good
you said,
match.
The longest match of the card.
18 minutes 58 seconds.
It was just especially after the Skywalker match. Yeah. This was back to
it was a solid long wrestling. I'm surprised it went that long as well. You can see, actually, Terry Taylor how talented he was as well.
Yeah,
it's just like fans growing up, young fans only saw him as the Red Rooster in WWF at the time.
Yeah,
and it was a joke.
Yeah,
but you can see the Terry Taylor. I think he went on as well in WCW. I can't remember. Was it? He did that bloody Wall Street gimmick, didn't he? With Terry Reynolds.
Is it?
At the time, he was like a whole like network of them, like three or four of them.
Right.
As well, so that was quite good for him as well. But I got to give props to Terry Taylor as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He held his own against, as you said, a very good Nikita Koloff.
Nikita Koloff, as I said, I don't think I ever watched a bad Nikita Koloff match.
No, absolutely. I mean, his early on, Taylor with the advantage, dominating, send him into the guardrail, working on his arm in the end, and then knocking him off Gilbert off the apron. He took a bump, it was just, you know, 16 minutes of good wrestling, like proper 18. Old 18
well, nearly
minutes.
19.
Nearly 19 minutes of just really good,
back to forth.
Solid wrestling, as you said, this is the type of match you'd love to see on a card nowadays.
Without going at it,
It's not, you haven't got to have these high flying hot spots here, there, and everywhere.
No.
It was just absolutely solid, wrestling.
You know, nothing, you don't have to always get on the highlight reel,
No. Exactly. And
yeah, it's a good, solid match, actually. I really enjoyed this. Obviously, Nikita Koloff won.
Yeah, with the old Russian Sickle. What a name for a
Russian
finisher.
Sickle.
I love
that. Just a clothesline, isn't it?
Yeah, just a clothesline, isn't it?
Well, a lariat, as they called it in WCW.
It was over. It was another finisher. It was over back in the day. And it's just, break it down. It's just a clothesline.
It's not the best version I've seen, though. No. I got to say, it was a weak connection to it. But obviously, I've seen him hitting him pretty hard.
Yeah.
But, as you said, we'll finish this. Bang, hit this finisher, it's over.
Yeah.
That's it.
You just knew.
Hence the word finisher.
Exactly. It's just, you can understand it sometimes if somebody hits someone so early in a match and then someone does just about kick out.
Yeah.
Then that's sort of acceptable. As you said, when you're five or six, you're kicking out of. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, F5, sir.
Oh, it's not even your start of that. But
you talk about, like, big ass clothesline. It's like clothesline from hell by Bradshaw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I find it hard to remember anybody kicking out of that. Probably somebody later on did, like Batista or Bobby Lashley, I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you hit in a man in that force, like JBL did,
yeah,
you ain't getting got up.
No, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
You know?
I mean, they done it with, you know, the Big Show's knockout punch. I mean, I thought it was terrible, but they got it over. Because they, exactly what you said, they done it each and every week, and no one got up from it. So,
build
you know,
it was built up. So, you know, just be honest, it's realistic as well. A man that big with that hand that hits you.
Yeah.
It's not going to be pretty.
No, exactly. You know,
not everybody's going to get knocked out by it, but...
No, but it's,
I want.
It goes to show, you know, the evolution and the change.
Dizzy me, you will.
Dizzy me.
I'm like, boom, and then I'll fucking have it, man.
Yeah.
Uppercut. Bang!
Gone, son.
Gone, he's gone.
Good night, Irene.
Knocked him back as the giant. I'll let him soar, he'll grow his hair back.
But if we look at, like I said, it's the evolution of the moves and the finishing moves. They have to be... so spectacular, and it's you know, similar to what we talked about in WrestleMania 17 last podcast, when I surprised at Chris Jericho when he beat Regal with the Lion's Hold.
Now back
in the day, you know, in his early days, that was one of his finishes.
Yeah, it's one of his finishes.
But nowadays, it's something he might use two times in a match, like, you know, just in the middle of a match.
Do it much anymore.
No, but you know, it's not. You know, he doesn't use it for a finisher. Like,
no,
you know,
it doesn't. It's just a signature move.
Yeah,
though,
it's
it?
Integrated in a match, and obviously. Because other people do things like that as well, quite regularly.
Yeah, yeah, God, yeah.
You know, it's the same as the DDT's been killed, isn't it?
Oh, God, no, don't get started.
That's one of my favourite finishes ever. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just a bang average move.
It's just an average move now, yeah.
Which is disappointing. But yeah, I mean, this match of the night so far, again, the crowd were absolutely wild for it as well. They were right into it.
Yeah.
Without any doubt.
Cheering on the Russian as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that time as well.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's another thing. I mean, you look, I know the kayfabe and babyface and heel was obviously so prominent back then. But it was like this crowd, almost like a WrestleMania crowd nowadays. They like who they like.
Yeah.
And they cheered for that. You know, we didn't seem to matter. Obviously, the vast majority were with the babyface or the heel.
Yeah.
But there was that section of, you could tell, were hardcore
fans.
What
it reminds
they know
me of,
how talented these people were.
Compared to these days, it'd be like an audience in NXT.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're absolutely it's rabid, proper wild all the way through. Like,
loving it.
Yeah.
Avid fans.
Oh, without a doubt. Every time we shot to the crowd, you know, they were smiling on their face and cheering and arms up in the air. You know, it was fantastic. And they were, as I said, right into this match. And best one of the night. Then, obviously, Nikita Koloff walks away as a unified TV champion now. So
my score.
Oh, yes, you score.
I'm going to give it a good 4 or 5.
4? I was expecting.
Yeah,
four,
it was good, actually.
Yeah.
It surprised me.
Yeah.
The fact that Terry Taylor was in his opponent as well. It showed, actually. I don't know, actually. Terry Taylor was actually not a bad wrestler.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was more Nikita Koloff.
Yeah,
carrying
he was.
Because Nikita Koloff wasn't that great as well, to be honest, because at that time he's only just recently become a wrestler.
Yeah.
I think his first match, I think he had about a couple of months of training.
Was it? Yeah.
When he had his first match, he won in like 35 seconds. But,
yeah.
You look at a guy that big, you're gonna.
Yeah. Oh,
you know
absolutely.
Who got in? Road Warrior Animal.
Was it really? Yeah.
I got Road Warrior Animal. Road Warrior Hawk spotted him. He was going for a trials for.
Football or something, is it?
Yeah, football.
Yeah.
Handball. American football.
Handball. American football, yeah.
For Minneapolis or Minnesota, one or two. I think he's from Minnesota.
Yeah, I want to say Minnesota, don't I?
Yeah.
But yeah, I go along with that.
And he said, you should become a wrestler, so.
He went and done it, son. He went and done it. But fair do. So, 4 out of 5 for that one, ladies and gentlemen. We'll move on then to the next tag team match on the card.
Fifth match,
NWA tag team titles on the line, and it's Arn Anderson against Tully Blanchard, the champions.
Four horsemen.
Two of the four against the Road Warriors, Animal and Hawk, in their hometown.
Both managers.
both managers, of course.
James J. Dillon and Paul Henry, who we recently saw last week on Raw.
Obviously, they're going to go somewhere with that. Obviously, we don't talk too much about modern stuff. I'm assuming they're going to go somewhere with that.
The rumours is he didn't want to travel, but he tweeted out the other day that it didn't bother him. If that's the case, that's the stupidest idea they have had for ages. Get rid of the manager. Them boys can't really speak.
No.
They're not very charismatic, are they?
No, I've seen them on. No, you're right.
No, they're great wrestlers. They really enjoy it.
They come on Razor, the
authors of Pain.
But unfortunately, it's not good enough nowadays.
If you think about it, there's no managers anymore.
No.
Not even Lana is managing Rusev anymore.
No. But then, as you said, we've got other podcasts, Broken But Glorious, for example, on V2 Sports Network, who go through all the modern stuff, but, I mean, are they going to go somewhere?
Don't plug them.
You got them, haven't you? Are they going to go somewhere with that angle, isn't he? Is he going to come in with another tag team and feud with them? Because...
do you know what? I can't see him. There's no team. The only... Oh, God. I hate to say this. But the War Riders.
Yeah.
War Machine.
Yeah.
I don't know who came up with War Riders. If they don't want to use the name War Machine,
yeah,
just call them War.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
War would have been a perfect name for them.
Yeah.
Like totally. Hanson and Rowe. That's the only team I could see Ellering going into.
Mm.
But they don't need a manager because they're both very charismatic. They know to work the mic.
Yeah.
The only other option I would say is... If they're going to go on that road and feud with Ellering with other teams, the Revival,
because they
need a boost, because they just...
Absolutely need something.
They're just making a mockery out of them.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get back to this.
Get back to 1987.
NWA Tag Team Titles. The Road Warriors in their hometown again. Yes. The crowd are going wild.
The Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, not the Legion of Doom.
No, the Road Warriors.
Because why?
Why?
The Legion of Doom is what they were named in the WWF.
There we go. Vince's idea, no doubt.
Yeah.
There we go. You said about Scott Steiner and Sting earlier, just how good did Hawk look?
Yeah, geez,
physically.
Hawk and Animal, both jacked up. The young versions of them as well.
It's fantastic. Great versions of the, you prefer them like that than Legion of Doom, I think. I did anyway, looking back like that.
I liked them with the shoulder pads. But they had shoulder pads when they were Road Warriors as well.
They came out with shoulder pads, like, not as, glamorous as what they had in WWF, obviously, but...
I prefer them as the Road Warriors. It's not much difference.
No.
It's just the name, really, Road Warriors. But they had everything, didn't they? They had
absolutely. It's just, well, we all know, greatest tag team. One of the greatest tag teams ever. Saying,
not the greatest tag
team. One of the great. But yeah, as we started, it was Hawk who pretty much dominated everyone. Eventually, Arn gets tagged in and starts working on his knee. And then again,
two of my favourite all time tag teams. Love Arn. Yeah. You know I love Arn Anderson.
Love Anderson, love him.
He delivered the greatest spinebuster ever in WrestleMania 18 to The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Watched it live. Thought, where the fuck did he come from?
Where did he come from?
How did he move? Boom! Oh my god! It was the greatest spinebuster ever. But Tully as well. Big fan of Tully.
Yeah.
Like, originally, we were going to review Starrcade 85, Magna TA, Tully Blanchard Steel Cage match.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. Go and watch it. I prefer to review this one instead, by the way.
Yeah. This was on you. This was on you, son.
Yeah. This was a better show than 85. Solid, really good show in Hawk. Hawk's strength, just body pressing. Yeah. I think it was Arn.
Yeah.
Walking out with him, just carrying around.
That's right, yeah. As you said, I mean, physically, must have been the best shape he was ever in, I think, looking at him. Mm. Absolutely immense. But as I said, he was on top. Arn comes in, goes on top. And then again, much like I said in the last match, it was that one, it all built up to that one hot tag again.
Yeah.
Rather than two or three. It was fantastic, waiting for Animal to get in the ring. And when he did, obviously, come in dominate. Was it Tally then who knocked Tommy Young, I want to say, the referee? Bumped into him, he got knocked out onto the ring. Onto the outside of the ring.
Didn't take a look at the... Yeah, I think Tommy Young... Yeah.
Tommy Young, the referee, he got knocked out by Tully accidentally, on purpose. to the outside, but then it was Animal who knocked Arn to the outside over the top rope.
Yeah.
Now, remember we said that earlier,
yeah,
gentlemen?
There was two referees, wasn't there?
Because Earl Hebner came out.
Earl Hebner, a very young Earl Hebner.
Because after that happened, he might have knocked Tully out, I don't know. But anyway, who did they give then the Road Warriors gave the Doomsday to...
I think it was Arn, didn't they?
I think they gave it to Arn.
Arn, yeah.
So it might have been Tully who got knocked over the... Anyway, they done that. Earl Hebner was there, so he counted the 1, 2, 3. Road Warriors, new champions, Al! And then what happens... Tommy Young, who, if you watch a replay, Al, he doesn't see fuck all.
No.
It was Tommy Young who informs everyone that he saw Tully or Arn get chucked over the top rope. So they're disqualified. We have no new champions. It's still
Horseman, still the NWA tag team champions.
Yeah. So, but then they show the replay, and the referee is quite clearly looking at the floor. He's not looking at it at all, you know.
Maybe his head's looking down, but his eyes are looking up.
Maybe, I don't know, it's a nice shiny concrete floor. Maybe it's a good reflection in it, I don't know.
But he's gone over the top rope, man. Disqualified.
But yeah, I just think, and obviously when they got at that three count, again, the crowd, hometown Chicago for the Road Warriors.
Yeah, the thing erupted, it was like, absolutely. It was like, snatch it away.
And then it was gone like that, and it was just, ooh.
Oh.
It's, you know... I don't know why they done that. Why there's no need to do that. I don't think. You know, it's been built up a long time before that. The Road Warriors to become the tag team champions. You know, they've had feuds with Arn and Kelly, of course.
I don't know.
It was a good build up on the. You know, NWA. That was their biggest showcase of the year, wasn't it?
It's keeping the Horsemen strong.
That's true, but then you know you've got to give something else to you know.
Well, eventually we will. Like the next match will take away.
Yeah.
From the Horsemen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's true enough. That's true enough. So, go on, Al. Give us your...
That was 13 minutes and 27 seconds long, that was. You know, I enjoyed that match, obviously. I enjoyed it. It's not... It's a 3. It's a solid 3.
Yeah.
Good 3.
Yeah. I'd go along with that. And again, like, a lot of... Obviously, not the Skywalker match, but the first tag team match, there was a lot more, obviously, between... you know, Arn and Tully, you know, the heels,
yeah,
so to speak. A lot of tags between them in and out all the time.
Yeah, you know,
real
like,
good like that.
It's like talking like just a couple of minutes ago about the Revival.
Mm.
They remind me so much of like an Arn and Tully team. You know, they could easily be pushed like that.
Yeah,
it's terrible waste of talent.
But I think they just worked that so well in this match and the first match, you know, always keeping the heels, just rotating them all the time.
Rotating,
It was really good, you know. Not done, you know, still done, certain teams do it nowadays, but not so much.
Oh, like, Revival does it.
Yeah, yeah.
Revival does it, perfect.
But there's other teams, like, you know, these people think, oh, I got to get my, you know, for one of them, I got to get my shit in sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll tag him and he can get his shit in and then, you know, we get, you know, blah, 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 but... Yeah, no, that was really good. That adds to the match.
Usually the individual wrestlers who've been part together, like Cesaro and Sheamus.
Yeah.
And this week you got Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. And it's like, oh, don't fuck him over again.
Yeah.
Drew McIntyre could be world champion if
it's not gonna
package him right. It's such a waste of bloody talent.
Yeah, but... Anyway, there we are. What did you say? 3 out of 5 for that one, Al?
Good 3 out of 5.
Right, just 2 matches left, Dan, and we will
all go... All these matches, like the fifth, sixth and seventh match, all got James J.J. Dillon.
Yes, of course they
have. Lots of these matches now all got Horsemen members.
Yeah, absolutely. So we move on to the first of the two then. For the NWA US title in a steel cage.
Nice. 16 minutes and 28 seconds long.
Old school steel cage as
well. Yeah, proper.
Great stuff.
You have the one and only American Dream. Dusty Rhodes versus Lex Luger.
Total package, the total package.
I didn't realise they called them the total package.
Back then, like...
Back in the 80s.
No, yeah. You're right, they didn't either. They mentioned it a couple of times. Maybe that was the sort of start of it, didn't they? Yeah. But, yeah, and... I mean, the stipulation for this was if Dusty loses, he was suspended for 90 days.
90 days.
So it was it was billed as a career-threatening match or something.
It's only 90 days.
Well, have a nice holiday, Dusty. Surely, 3 months off, sir.
Surely he picked up some tips from his dad about plumbing. He could have done plumbing for 90 days.
Exactly. Exactly. So...
Hey, baby, was your pipes, baby? You got a leak.
But yeah, obviously Dusty well over, the crowd went wild for him when he came out. Absolutely,
you know the thing about Dusty, you look at him, he's a big man, but so light on his feet, dancing around, he climbed up the cage. It's Dusty, man, it's just brilliant. Do you know what surprised me about this match? It's probably the best match I've ever seen Lex Luger in.
Yeah, he wouldn't go far past that.
You know, Lex Luger's not the greatest wrestler.
Come on, Al, no.
He's not the greatest mic performer either. No. You know, he looks good, you know?
Yeah. No, exactly.
But
no.
I would struggle to find a better match of Lex and Luger.
Yeah, but you know, that's on Dusty, that, isn't it?
Yeah, God, Dusty made him look good.
You know, stuff, it was
Dusty made polka dots look good. Didn't make anything look good.
But obviously you expect, you know, Luger has his moments. I mean, he had him on his shoulders trying to do the
Torture rack.
Yeah, he just couldn't pull it off quite. Could he, you know, Dusty got the ropes.
What are you doing, baby? I'm on the shoulders, baby.
So I think, you know, like you said, you know, it was a good match.
See how strong he was as well. Like, Dusty had him in the sleep roll, but he climbed on his back like a piggy bank.
And
he was holding him.
Yeah, exactly. So I think... moments like that, obviously you said, you know, not the greatest wrestler. Dusty brought the best out of him throughout the match, no doubt. But he had his moments like that. He had his moments of, you know, getting him up on his shoulders for the torture rack, you know, showing his strength, getting him over as well.
It was a really good performance by Lex Luger.
Yeah.
No, like, we don't have to talk about Dusty's performance, because Dusty always delivered.
Yeah.
Up until later in his career as well, he always still performed, like when he was in ECW. In TNA, he still performed at a very good level. Yeah, he wasn't as quick as he used to be.
Well, no, exactly. You're not going to be.
But he brought it all the time. But Lex Luger, hands up, awesome.
Yeah,
in that match.
You know, like you said, and I'm sure you'll remember it fondly for that. But yeah, obviously, I think Dusty ended up bleeding as well, didn't he?
Yeah, always bleeds.
As he usually does.
The stipulation as well, I can't remember the guy's name now. I didn't write it down. Had the keys to the cage.
Oh, so the legend.
The former SR. Oh, I can't remember. He's a nephew.
No, I never heard of him myself. It's legend.
The other members of the Horsemen couldn't get in.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though...
JJ?
That's him. Chucked, ended up knocking him down and chucking a chair into the...
He dropped the keys, then he couldn't get it, so he threw a chair. Or he just got in the ring.
Yeah, Chris, yeah. That would have been a bit awkward, but yeah, he...
That was the finish to the match, wasn't it?
That was the finish to the match. He ended up chucking the chair into the steel cage.
Luger's going to bend down and pick it up, and Dusty hit him over a DDT.
Onto the chair, and obviously 1, 2, 3. Dusty was the new US champion.
First time ever, he won it.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, there we are. And that was another thing, you know, he didn't really celebrate in the ring, did he? That was it. Whether they were up against time, you don't know.
Yeah,
and they were told to hurry it up.
Do you know what? I think.
But they won and they got out, didn't they?
I'm not 100% sure, but Dusty used to book quite a lot back in the days. He came up with all the Starcade and Great American Match. He came up with all the ideas.
Hmm.
So he's probably running the show.
Yeah.
As well. So he knew. Let's get out of here, baby.
Let's get out of here, baby. Get flair on, baby.
Baby. Go Ric Flair, baby. Ooh, if you will, if you please.
But yeah, as you said, I think it was, definitely a good match for Luger.
16 minutes, 28 seconds, if I haven't said that already.
I don't know. No, I think you said it right at the start. But Dusty's always going to have a great match.
Yeah.
Luger came out of it, even though he lost the title, US title.
Came out strong.
Luger
was a heel at the time. Yeah. Obviously, he was a member of the Horsemen.
Yeah.
He was, but good match. Yeah. Really enjoyed this match. You look at it and like, do you know what? This is fucking so. This match is probably better, most I've seen of WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
Not including NXT.
NXT, of course. No,
not including that. That just blows everything apart.
Yeah, without a doubt. But yeah, it's just a good, you know, good match. Obviously, you know, classic, you know, babyface and heel. Yeah. You know what I mean? Luger was on
and
top.
And Luger from Chicago as well.
Is it?
Yeah, Luger's a Chicago, Illinois boy.
Well, there we are. I didn't know that.
So,
hometown again.
Both guys are both like Road Warriors, and yeah. Luger lost.
Ah, there we are. He didn't like Chicago, old Crockett.
Chicago.
Old JC.
Yeah. Jim Crockett promotion.
So, did you have a score for this one, Al?
Give it a four.
Giving it a four?
Yeah, give it a four.
Liked it that much, sir?
Yeah. It surprised me.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, it surprised me how good Luger was.
Yeah.
And it was a really enjoyable match.
Yeah. No, there we are. They're fantastic. Fantastic. So, we will move on to the main event of the evening.
Woo!
The Nature Boy. Ric Flair against...
Ron Garvin. Ronnie. James brother.
Anyone heard of him, ladies and gentlemen? Anyone heard of him?
Never heard of Ron Garvin.
Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah.
No, not really. Yeah. No. I've probably heard the name. I've never seen him before in my life.
Ronnie Garvin, yeah.
But.
No, to be honest, I had seen him in, I think he was in WWF before, I think.
He had a run in the early 90s, WWF, didn't he? He was not high profile, but I'm sure he went there against people like the Brawler and stuff like that, you know.
I don't know, he wasn't a WWE. I have seen him.
Yeah.
But this is the first proper match I've watched him in.
Yeah.
Like, what's it they call him? The man with the steel feet.
Stone hands.
Yeah.
Which Flair coined that, didn't he, or something?
Jesus, he was slapping the shit out of Flair.
Yeah.
Well, he was slapping the proxy out of him.
There was a lot of slapping going on here.
Jesus, yeah. Obviously, I'd seen him in bits.
Mm.
But this was the first proper match I've seen Ronnie Garvin in. Steel cage match, NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Flair's going for his fifth. 17 minutes and 38 seconds long.
Was it really?
Do you know what? This was a brilliant match.
I enjoyed it a lot.
You can see how brilliant Ric Flair was.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I can sit down and watch Flair in that era,
yeah,
all the time.
Yeah,
not so much now, like the later era, you know.
That's what I'm saying.
Cringy now.
North,
but watching Flair in his prime,
yeah,
oh, it's just brilliant. It's like Dusty watching Dusty, is just,
yeah, no, absolutely. That's why he was so great for me to watch as well. Because, like I said, you know, the best what I've seen of Flair was towards the end of his career in WWE.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So you know,
maybe WCW as well. Did you see him?
Yeah,
WCW?
But, you know, to see him, as you said, like at his prime, it just goes how good he was, you know.
Oh,
just
God,
looking
soaked
at him, seeing how good he was. Sold absolutely everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's a spot where they're going up the cage, and Garvin slaps him,
yeah,
and he slips, and he lands right between the ropes, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he sold that so well.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Exactly what's going through my mind when I was watching it. I thought, Jesus, he sells the fuck out of everything. Absolutely amazing, you know, in his prime like that. And, like, it was almost like, you know, the match early on, sort of Terry Taylor, when you said surprised you.
Surprised,
Like he was like looking at Terry Taylor and looking at, you know, he could have been another Flair.
Terry Taylor, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If Flair wasn't there, maybe he would have been higher up the card a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, had a bit of a better run.
I think he was just unlucky because Sting, the year later, I think Sting main evented with Flair.
Yeah.
Or was it, I'm not too sure. But also, Sting had his, Flair had his feud with Steamboat as well, later on as well. So,
yeah.
Flair had some great matches.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
With Steamboat and Sting. Dusty as well.
Yeah.
It's just a shame that.
That's what I'm saying. People like that, it was just a shame he was in the same era as someone like Ric Flair. You know, similar sort of styles, looks sort of thing. It was just, as you said, to watch him in his bomb. I mean, as you said, old Ron.
According to this on Wikipedia, Jimmy Garvin is the stepson of Ronnie Garvin. But Jimmy Garvin said on in an interview on Starrcade, that was his brother.
Yeah, they were tag team. They used to be tag team years before. He was more of a tag team wrestler when he was Ron Garvin.
Yeah.
From what I looked up about him anyway, because he'd been wrestling since the 60s, late 60s, 70s.
Montreal, Quebec.
From what I hear, because obviously we mentioned before WWF.
62 he debuted. 62. Trained by Pat Patterson.
Was he really? There we are. Yeah, from what we mentioned at the start there, when WWF announced Survivor Series, Jim Crockett wanted to rival him with his Starrcade, and he wanted a huge main event and something to happen. So I think it was only a month before. He only had the title for like 40 days, didn't he, Ron Garvin?
Yeah, the fans didn't really connect with him, did they?
No. Well, apparently, it was Jim Crockett who said, "I want, you know, Flair, I want you to drop the title now, and then you're going to main event Starrcade, you're going to win it back, basically.
Yeah.
You know, this is what we want to happen in the ratings." And he went around a few wrestlers at the time and said, "Look, you know, can Flair drop the belt to you?" And because everyone knew it was only going to be for a very short time, a month or so, a lot of people refused to do it. But Ron Garvin's...
I'd snap the opportunity.
Well, exactly. Ron Garvin thought, you know, this is probably the last opportunity I'll ever get.
He did,
the only opportunity, so he took it. And, you know, fair play to him. You can't fault him, you know what I mean?
He did, actually, wrestle in WWF in 88, 1990. Rugged Ron Garvin. Fan favourite.
Fan favourite. But, yeah, I mean, they produced a good match. But it's strange again because, as we said about the crowd, and it compared to a modern day crowd, it seemed like a lot more were behind Ric Flair than Ron Garvin. As you said, the crowd didn't, you know, the fans didn't connect with him, and I think it showed with the crowd a lot more people were rooting for Flair.
Flair,
It was almost like, you know, he was the heel, but they were, you know,
Flair had everything. Didn't he?
Yeah,
he had the showmanship.
Yeah.
He had the ability to work a match from anybody, Flair. Yeah. Make anybody. The same with Dusty, make anybody look good.
Yeah.
But not taking away anything from Ronnie Garvin, I really enjoyed his performance as well.
Yeah, it was a good match.
And
I think he worked it well,
probably
obviously.
The best I've ever seen him.
Yeah, obviously he said the gimmick with the stone hands, he worked that well with the punches and the slaps. And then I think it was one point when Flair was down and he was basically... He kicked him on every body part, stamped on every body part. Fantastic.
I was really looking at it. I'm like, well, that's where Randy Orton gets up.
Yeah.
That move from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And then obviously you had...
I don't know if anybody else has done it, but that was a brilliant spot.
Yeah.
Just stamping on every
head,
part of
shoulder, hand, leg.
Knees and toes.
Yeah. It was, it was a really good spot in the match, I thought. Like I said, it was a move of a heel, wasn't it? As well.
It was very heelish.
Yeah. So that was one thing. And then obviously you had to build up then to, get a bit of colour in the match with Flair constantly trying to chuck him, Garvin, into the cage. But he kept blocking it and blocking it and blocking it.
Yeah.
And then eventually Garvin got Flair into the cage and obviously that's when
split
it up.
I think both men bled.
Both men bled. But that was the other thing. It was visible on the camera when he done it. Flair done it.
Oh, you saw him bleeding, did you?
Yeah. Well,
I missed that.
You couldn't. I mean, to normal fans just watching it, you'd think. But when he saw it, he was scraping his head against the steel cage, and Flair just had his finger straight. He had his hand, you know, next to his head, and he had his finger straight on his forehead. And then as he was rubbing his head, you know, he obviously had his, the
blade
there.
Stuck to him.
And obviously the camera was right there, the other side of the cage as he was doing. Obviously they want to get a good shot, and Flair hit it well, don't get me wrong, you know, but whether it's just me and I just, you know, get curious as to when they do it, you know, because you know, back in the day it was common, you know.
It's only a little bit, wasn't it? It's only the edge of the blade
it's only
wrapped
little,
in like tape.
So
it's like, it's only a bit.
Yeah. But it was just, you could just, you know, see his finger run across and then it went like that, you know.
It's no Roman Reigns in WrestleMania this year, was it? That was the hard way.
No, absolutely. But, so, you know, to a fan who's just watching it, it's not so awesome because, it's expected, and I know, it's likely, I mean, because of the, you know, the hair.
I wonder how much blood he'd lost over the years.
Oh, Christ.
And Dusty.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But then it looks so much, the image then, innit? Because,
yeah,
because of the hair with it as well, and the bright red then. Just the image is iconic, isn't it?
Don't get a lot of guys these days with peroxide hair, do you? I think only Cody is bringing that look back. He's doing a fine job of it, I think.
But, no, quite right. But
it's funny, because Cody is more like Ric Flair than his dad.
Yeah.
In that, the American Nightmare gimmick he's doing.
But again, it's, you know, if he ever come back, he'd be nothing on the...
Yeah, I know, he'd be wished.
Buried.
You know, I once said, this was when Corey first came out with the Legacy. I once said, I think in the next 3 years, Cody Rhodes will be WWE World Champion, because he was that good.
Yeah.
And they just wasted him. And they, what they do, turn him into the Stardust.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? He's done such a good job in the independent scene.
Yeah.
Like in New Japan and Ring of Honor at the moment.
No.
I don't think he should ever go back.
Well, that's it. Because
he's making such a good name for himself. He's probably making more money.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The money's there now. The money's not just in WWE, is it? So he doesn't need to go back.
No, and the fact that Brandi Rhodes as well has a better career than just a bloody ring announcer called Eden. You know, it shows how good she actually is as well as a good heel manager.
Oh, but even, I mean... not be funny even when they give him that shite Stardust. They made it work for a little bit, the pair of them.
Yeah, good.
And then it, you know, they started like sort of taking the piss out of them.
Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Wrestling, with Dusty. Dusty. With Goldust.
But yeah, they started getting very, you know, just taking the piss out
of them. I
think it started well. And then, you know, but it was never going to work.
Do you know what? I never liked the character. No. It's just like, no.
Oh, no, it's never going to work.
Whist.
But they made it work for a little while before it was, you know, turned around again. Anyway, Al, Flair Garvin, in the end, it is...
Flair.
Ric Flair, woo!
Ooh, look at that. He lifts Garvin up into the steel cage, I think, using Garvin's momentum.
Yeah.
And Garvin headbutts
the post.
The post.
Yeah.
Wasn't very slick.
No.
Knocks him out, rolls him up. One, two, three, Flair. Fifth time as NWA World Champion.
Absolutely.
And can we just say how beautiful that belt is?
Oh,
that is my all-time favourite belt.
Oh, without doubt. It's got
That's a stunning belt. That big piece of gold.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, calm down.
I would, you know, if I...
Could you about £400-£500, aren't they?
No, fucking more than that.
Are they, yeah.
If I say about, I think, for a proper replica size one,
yeah,
I think you're looking about $2,000. If I had the money, son, I'd buy it.
Oh, yeah.
I'd walk around with it. Walk around like Ric Flair. Like Edge. Remember when Edge imitated Ric Flair? In the road rage bit when he feud with him? I'd walk around like that.
Why not?
I would. Just going woo into people's face. Woo!
But that was I think it was...
That's one that? Week. The next week, I'll be Dusty.
Yeah, do it all, son.
Yeah.
Don't go through
my favourite NWA wrestlers.
But yeah, I mean, that was... that was more than you could tell in the match with Flair and Garvin when he... Early on in the match, Ric Flair, you know, I think it was always better when he'd done a slow one. Woo! And the crowd erupted then as well, early on in the match. I could see the crowd will run.
I know he's always done it. I like
the quick ones.
No, when he gets hit and he's like stunned and he walks.
Oh, yes.
And then he just drops down, yeah.
Immense, absolutely immense. Yeah. But yeah, it was a good, as you said, it wasn't the cleanest look to the finish.
Finish, yeah.
But I think it was a good idea to the finish because all through the match, time and time again, it was about Flair trying to chuck him into the cage and he couldn't do it. And he kept blocking him and blocking him.
And again, it doesn't take anything away from Ronnie Garvin as well. Doesn't make him look weak.
No.
It was like bang in a cage.
Yeah.
You expect to be knocked out.
Yeah.
You know, back in them days, it's
believable,
isn't it?
Exactly.
It's not like
nowadays, exactly, you know. No, exactly. Unless it's the Royal Rumble, son. You know, you're going to stab your toe and then you sit outside the ring for half an hour and come back in.
Yeah, I know. Jesus.
But yeah, like you say, it didn't. And maybe maybe he'd done that because he basically, you know, done the company a favour, Jim Crockett. Yeah. So he said, right, you know, I'm going to get you over as well as Flair here. Because, not, you know, no one else would take the title for that 40 days or whatever, and he did.
He didn't have a rematch. He didn't fight for the title ever again.
No. He knew. Well, he said that, you know, that's what he took
it. For a living now?
What's he doing?
He owns a car dealership in North Carolina.
Does he really?
And he's a trained pilot.
Is he really? Yeah. There we go. Absolute knowledge. Yeah. Well done, sir. Well done. So, Al, have you got a rating for this one?
Yeah, 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 again? It's
the third 4 out of 5.
Fantastic.
Because it was an enjoyable match, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Wrestling has to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
If you're watching it, if you're bored, it's not enjoyable, obviously.
No.
But that match holds you there. It keeps you entertained. And for that, I give it a 4 out of 5.
I'm with you there, I'm with you. It's almost a case of, especially nowadays, when we've got so many distractions, our phones and stuff like that. And you sit there, and, you know, with modern day stuff, you do. You just get
you saw into the match. You saw into the storytelling of the match, which it's not so much these days.
No.
Only in NXT.
Yeah.
Which you look at it, the foundations is built by Dusty and Triple H, who loves his old school wrestling. Well,
that's the difference. It goes back to old days, like you said on this, you know. This was their major show of the year. Seven matches, belts on the card. It was NXT, what did you get, 4 or 5 matches on it?
Yeah, both 6.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, and it tells with the quality. Because, like you said,
gives the wrestlers more time.
Yeah.
For the matches, it's like, not everybody's crammed in.
Yeah.
You look at, I don't know, we're going off, look at the NXT recently, the New Orleans takeover.
Mm.
Starts off with a 6-man ladder match.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, like, oh my god, 6-man ladder match is going to be, it's going to be, what, 3-4 minutes long?
Yeah.
It's going to be crap. No, what was the hell? It was outstanding.
Oh, some wasn't amazing, take a breath watching
some
it.
Some amazing fantastic spots. Yeah. You know, we get the in-ring debut of Ricochet in the WWE.
Yeah.
We got EC3 returning. I'm not so much fussed about that.
Yeah.
You know, but Killian Dane's and Lars Sullivan. Yeah. Going up the ladders at Killian Dane's. I can't wait to see him on SmackDown every week now.
Yeah.
Who else is in the match? Adam Cole, baby! Can't say that name without saying baby. he's just a throwback himself.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
But then you go, what was the next match then? I can't remember now. Altogether, you had the 6-man, you had the women's match, Shayna Baszler and Ember Moon, which is another solid, great match.
Absolutely, fantastic.
You had
the North American title, you had,
well, North American title was this, the,
of course it was, yeah,
that match, you had the
tag titles,
which Roderick Strong turning heel, amazing.
Yeah.
You had the world title match, NXT title match, Andreas Cien Almas and Aleister Black.
And then Johnny Wrestling.
Johnny Wrestling, Tommaso Ciampa. 5 solid matches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's all you need.
Again, the end of the main event was Johnny Wrestling steals the show again, puts on another 5-star match.
Yeah.
Like he did with Andreas Almas.
Yeah.
In January.
Yeah, Rumble, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Rumble. Weekend. That was just an amazing match.
Philadelphia, was it Philadelphia?
Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, like you said, they just get time to do it. Because it's not like that reminds these old school.
This, like, watching this, it reminds me of, like,
yeah. Because it's a case of, I mean, like we mentioned earlier that they did, you know, they didn't have these fancy TV packages telling you why this match is happening. And then you didn't need it because they give the time. I mean, apart from the Dr. Death match, which is only like 6-7 minutes. You know, you could tell a story, you know, before the match, you know, in a feud or a build-up or whatever. But back in this day, they told a story throughout the match from start to finish.
Yeah.
They built the story inside the match, so then, and you were drawn into it that way. And I think that's what's lost on the main stage nowadays.
Definitely is. You look at it this week, it's stupid. We've got the Superstar Shake-Up.
Yeah.
And you got on Raw, on Monday night, you got Samoa Joe coming out. He's returned from injury. He's putting down Roman Reigns. The fans are loving it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe for the Universal title.
Yeah.
And what they do yesterday, they swap him to SmackDown. Yeah. I'm like, why? Why? Because was it the fact that he's making Roman look bad? Because he's so over with the fans?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But like,
it's, you know, the problem is too many talent now.
Yeah.
It's overcrowded. Both SmackDown and Raw is overcrowded.
Mm.
And they're not utilising the best talent. It's like, you got Finn Balor. He's not being utilised. Seth Rollins stuck in the IC title division. They're pushing the life out of Roman Reigns, but nobody wants him. The only way that's going to work, turn him heel.
Yeah, but I think there's times past for that. They should have done that last year, I think. They should have done that.
I don't know. I think they probably can do it any time because people hate him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you got, like, Anderson and Gallows, one of the best independent tag teams.
Come on,
and
what they've done to them.
They're a joke now. Yeah. They're just laughing stock. Same with the Revival.
Mm.
Same with... not so much AJ Styles because he is world champion, which rightly so.
Yeah.
You know? But you look at them, I tell you who should be the main guy, and you might be surprised about this, The Miz.
No, I'm not surprised at all.
You know, you look at The Miz, how much he's done for the IC title,
yeah.
How much he built it up. That man should be main eventing. He should be winning the world title again.
Without doubt.
You know, because he's come such a long way as character.
Yeah.
To get to where he is now,
yeah,
I enjoy seeing The Miz on TV.
Yeah,
I enjoy that he's an old school heel.
Exactly what I was going to say. Okay. Absolute, just a heel.
Heel. He's pure heel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get people nowadays, they're supposed to be heels, but then they play to the crowd a little bit.
Yeah,
and that gives, you know, the crowd, you know, a bit of thing here and there. But he is, you know, if the crowd get behind him, he shuts the crowd down like that with a comment or whatever, like, you know, and that's old school heel, that's fantastic.
That is.
Like, and I think that's why the crowd love him even more then, because they see it as well. But but like you say, it's just,
I know a lot of people probably listen to this podcast, what is he talking about with The Miz? You look at his work rate, you know, he's not the greatest in ring format. He's got a lot of great good moves.
Yeah.
But my God, can he make you hate him?
Oh yeah, exactly. That's what, yeah,
that's
what,
what they should have.
That's what wrestling is.
Yeah.
You want to be invested emotionally.
At the end of the day, it's good versus bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
However much it might have changed nowadays when they say
the good guy versus the bad guy, and the bad guy's got to be evil.
Yeah, exactly.
And The Miz brings it. Yeah. There's no one on that roster now.
Yeah.
Maybe Samoan Joe.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Go with that.
Can come close to it as a heel.
Yeah. I mean, look what they've
Samoan
done
Joe
with,
can back it up in the ring.
With Braun Strowman.
Oh, yeah.
He was heel, and then, you know, like I said, he was supposed to be the heel, and then he played up to the crowd there with this one more time, slamming one. And he done it, and then that's it now, the crowd are with him, man.
He's a face now, but they're not utilising him either.
No, exactly.
You know, he should be the guy who beats Brock Lesnar
for the
Universal title.
Yeah.
He should be the face on Raw.
Yeah.
That surprises me, because when he came in, I'm like, oh, this is just a jacked up
talented
wrestler. But now, different story. I enjoy watching Braun Strowman, and he should be the face of Raw.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that was dumb.
But if you look at it this way, it's strange, because with the Superstar Shake-Up this week, all the talented in-ring performers, like the proper ones that could go Shinsuke, AJ, Daniel Bryan, Samoan Joe
on SmackDown,
are all on SmackDown. It's a shame that Seth Rollins is not on
there, because
that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
You know, even Finn, it's kind of like, if you think about the old school Intercontinental division, you had Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat, Mr. Perfect, Bret Hart, they're all the gifted technical wrestlers.
Yeah.
Like, the world title was for, like, the Hulk Hogan,
the character, the powerhouse.
The gimmicks, the ones who could got multiple fans who can sell stuff. But the Intercontinental title at that time, it was for the talented guys.
For the wrestlers.
That's what SmackDown is.
Yeah.
It's the Intercontinental division.
Yeah. Go along with that. That's not for us to discuss that. We're old school, Sam.
We're old school.
And obviously that was the last match, Stargate. Did you give it an overall rating out?
Overall rating. A good 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Do you know what? It was a really, really good show, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Anybody listens, got the WWE Network, go and watch it, because it's a really good show.
I'd go along with
that. If you're a modern fan who've never seen wrestling from the 80s, from the NWA, you haven't seen Dusty or Ric Flair in the prime.
No, like me, I very rarely know.
Go and watch it, because it's a really good show. And you get to see a young Sting.
Yeah.
In the spring of his career.
I'd say spring.
Yeah, because spring.
Spring and the autumn, then. Spring is the start, autumn is the end.
Of his career.
The autumn. People say the autumn, isn't it?
Oh, that's great. See, a rookie Sting.
Yeah, no, I go along with that. Go and watch it, because this is what wrestling's about. This is why you love wrestling, because, yeah, as you say, they tell a story in nearly every match, and it does draw you in emotionally. They've got that good, as you said, sort of gimmick match, Skywalker's match in the middle. It breaks it up a bit. You know, it's not too intense then. And then they draw you in again then with the TV title, the tag
which
titles.
Was a brilliant match.
And then the two steel cage main events then.
Favourite match of the night?
I would go with a tie for the TV title, Koloff and Taylor, and Luger and Rhodes.
Do you know, I probably would push, if I had to choose one, it would be Dusty and Luger.
Yeah.
Because I was shocked how much I liked Luger in this match.
Yeah.
Obviously, Nikita Koloff is one of my all-time favourites, but it was a great match as well. But
yeah,
I would go for Dusty and Luger in the steel cage. That was a really entertaining match.
Yeah, I'd probably go along with that. But yeah, overall, like I said, really good pay-per-view. Really enjoyed it. Anyone who hasn't seen it, go and watch it. It's very, very...
What's your overall...
Overall rating, I'd probably go 4 out of 5, I'll be honest with you, because as I think, what did we give WrestleMania 17? 3 out of 5, something like that?
This has done better than WrestleMania 17.
Absolutely, because it was the sheer amount of matches there, I think. As you said, this basic, 6, 7 matches, and everyone was a good one.
You can get tired. Like, you watch WrestleMania, it was 7 hours long, for Christ's sake. The latest one. Like, 2-hour kickoff show and then 5 hours.
Yeah.
It was actually longer than 7 hours.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was like...
Probably was.
7 hours, 15 minutes to be detected.
And this was... I think it was only, 2.5 hours this was. Less than a Raw. An episode of Raw. And probably more wrestling quality in it than you'll see, probably one of the best pay-per-views we'll watch, I think, over the next year of doing these podcasts or whatever.
We've only got a contract for a year, have we?
I don't know, I'm just saying a year, if I say 10 years, I'm sure we'll come up with another
10 years. 10 years, we'll be reviewing WrestleMania 35.
Yeah.
Now, WrestleMania 35.
Well, as you said, all in all,
shite.
All in all, fantastic. If you can, go and watch it. It's well worth a watch. It's just getting back to basics, old school wrestling, and some great spots. So that's it now for another episode.
Right, the next, I think we said this on the football podcast, but we were supposed to be doing Heatwave 97.
Yes.
We're going to go for 90s next time.
We're going to go for ECW.
ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
And I did say Heatwave 97, but...
It's not on the network.
It's not on the network.
So we're not doing it.
Unless
we can track down a Betamax VHS copy.
Betamax. I don't know why it's not on the network. I don't know. No. Funny enough, Starcade was only just recently put on there.
Then they released the first three then, isn't it?
Yeah, the 83, 86
ones.
Holly Ray's Ric Flair was the first one, right?
Yeah.
82, was that? Or 83?
83, I want to say. The first one, 83.
Maybe.
No, it would have been 82, because this was the fifth one.
Yeah.
No, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87. Yeah, 83 it started. 83. There we are. We can count again, ladies and gentlemen.
Which also surprised me, the date as well, because the latest arcades was always in December.
Yeah, the end of the year.
Because I was expecting to be December.
Yeah.
That was WCW's big end-off show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Starcade was like they WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They had Clash of the Titans, Clash of the Champions.
Yeah.
But Starcade was the big one, and it went into, World War III was a build-up. Basically the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But I always agreed on the fact that the big show was always at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And not,
April.
April.
Well, there's only one reason behind that, because they can do it outside.
Yeah.
He had the vision early on, didn't he, Vince, that, we can fill stadiums. Not just arenas, we can fill stadiums, and for that, you need the weather, don't you? That's the thing there.
Yeah, I'm saying these days as well, there's a lot of outdoor arenas, last year's one? Was that last year's? Was that outdoor? Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they had the roller coaster. Yeah, that was great. That was,
yeah. But yeah, so we will be back.
Next year's outdoors, well, I think.
New York, isn't it? New York. In the MetLife Stadium.
Stadium, yeah. One of the best matches that I know, Jericho and Shawn Michaels.
Was it there?
There we are.
Yes, we'll be back in 3 or 4 weeks with
an ECW pay-per-view.
We don't know which one yet, but we'll decide.
Maybe November to Remember.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe Living Dangerously.
Oof.
Maybe Heatwave 98.
Is it on this?
I was looking at Heatwave 97. I thought, oh, what a good show that looks like.
Yeah.
Let's get this. Let's see if we can get our hands on Heatwave.
You never know. We might be able to find a copy somewhere. We've got contacts.
Yeah.
But yes, ladies and gentlemen, so that is us for this episode. Do we have an end to this one?
No, we don't. Do we? Because the other one, we do Have a Good Week and Be Lucky.
Yeah.
So we have to come up with an end for this, like a wrestling one.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend, be woo.